David, a very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Zanati. Good morning, Howard. How are you guys doing?
Good, actually.
Not at all. Not at all bad. Thank you for asking. I suppose that's what psychologists do. David, how are you doing?
Yes. I think for me, with all the negative news and of course the reality of the situation with COVID, I think it's, you know, and I know it sounds like a bit of a cliche, but I think it's so important that at this time we do look for the positive, and believe it or not, within all this negative news, there are so many positives that I think we can take from the situation. And again, we're not taking away from the seriousness of the situation. We're not taking away from from our need to listen to the professionals, as we said last time, and do everything that we need to do to flatten the curve. But there definitely are some positives. And one of the things I was thinking about is, Howard, isn't it amazing? Isn't it just absolutely amazing how children are not getting this, or very few children are getting this virus? And I think we need to step back for a second and say, you know, how often do we say we'll take, you know, rather me than my child?
Right. David, can I ask you, it's coming through, not terribly soft, but just a little bit soft. If you could talk a little bit louder, I would appreciate that. I know psychologists like the soft voice approach. Have you noticed that?
Yes,
that
you calm you down.
Yeah, and then they talk
they
very, very softly.
At you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to unnaturally raise my voice.
Right. Exactly. Unnaturally do that. You're absolutely right, David, going back to this issue around kids. Can you imagine our anxiety if we were even more worried about our children?
I was thinking the same thing because, I mean, I don't have kids, and already the anxiety that I'm experiencing.
Can you imagine the extra anxiety if kids were getting it?
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously kids can get it. It's not to say that they can't, but it's not the real, it's very, very uncommon.
Very uncommon. And it seems that the symptoms are so much milder than adults seem to have. And it's just, you know, if you just take a step back just for one second, let's not brush over this. I mean, it's an absolute miracle. It's obviously the medical profession and the scientists are still going to try and work out why this is. But if we take a step back, it's as you say, it's absolutely a miracle. And as you say, our anxiety levels, I think, would be so much higher, if we knew that our children could be could become desperately ill. Mm. So I think that's one thing we should always keep at the back of our minds. And there are other things, I think, for me, that we can really take away in this very difficult time that are actually are positives. And one of them is that we just have more time on our hands at the moment. And how many times have we just, of course, we know the ramifications. We know that financially, you know, people are taking a lot of strain, and we understand that being isolated from one's community and people we love and interact with normally is very difficult. But at the same time, how often have we in our very, very busy lives just saying, you know what I would give just to stop, just to have more time, to spend time with my kids, quality time with my kids, or to, you know, do the things that I normally just couldn't do because I'm just so pressurized. There are so many things that I need to get done in the day, and my time, the time is not mine. So I think for me, you know, again, we're not here to say, listen, let's just, put on blindfolds.
I was going to ask you that reality. Because I know that, obviously denial is a very dangerous thing. And, it's something we always need to be aware of. Are we completely, neglecting the reality around us? How do we balance that? How do we know when we aren't in denial, but we are choosing to see a positive in a situation?
So I think it's what is important is maybe instead of saying denial, that we kind of say, let's get perspective. Because I think when someone's in denial, you know, as we said last time, it's a very important defense that we develop as human beings. But denial, where appropriate, and, you know, when, as we said last time, when people find it difficult to acknowledge or to bring into consciousness certain experiences which are just too much to, you know, to talk about and to admit to or experiencing. And so we kind of slowly want to allow that person to remember these experiences or acknowledge these experiences. So it's not traumatic. And I think for me, that's the thing when it comes to difficult situations, that, you know, a little bit of optimism, a little bit of perspective, actually a lot is very, very important. But we know we're in denial when we are kind of flaunting, you know, the reality, you know, when we actually are just saying, you know, this is ridiculous. You know, why do we have to self-isolate? Why do we have to be careful when we go out and, you know, and distance ourselves from people. You know, we don't really need to stay home. I think that's a completely different situation, because I think the reality of the situation is that there is a pandemic, and it is COVID-19 is very infectious. So I think for me, it really is about, instead of denial, saying, you know, let's try and look for some perspective, you know, in the situation. And I think for me, there is. And it's really not about saying, oh, you're in complete denial. You know, you don't, you always just try to look for the positive. I think for me, there are clear positives in this, which certainly doesn't mean that if we look at the positives that we're in denial in any way.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is. I like the word. I like the word, the substitution of the word perspective for denial. Yeah. I think that's very, very useful. Kim says, excuse me. This is from Kim Fine. This is such a precious time that we have never had before and may never even get again. I am so enjoying being at home with my kids. That is from Kim. And it's interesting. I know that, that my wife is absolutely loving this time of everybody being around and being in the home. And, you know, I sometimes look at her incredulously and think, you know, like, are you crazy? But I do get it.
No, absolutely. And hopefully that's what our kids are going to reflect on. They're not going to be in denial and say, oh, you know, it was absolutely a fantastic time. You know, of course there are people dying and that's another thing we can talk about. But
David, I think that's an important, I think this is an important part of the conversation is, it sounds very callous what I'm about to say, but there are always people dying. And there are always people that don't have food. And there are always people in a terrible situation. You know, I think that part of the problem in the world today is, prior to COVID-19, and I do believe things are changing, is that we had this pity competition where everybody, how dare you say that at a time when blah, blah, blah. And we've always done that. And I've always said to people, you know, you can't compare these things, because ultimately there's always the baby dying in Syria, and there's always the Holocaust. So you could always go back and you could always say, yo, you think it's bad, but, you know, the reality is for our kids and for our homes, that they need the knowledge, but they don't need to be reminded all day, every day that there are people dying. I mean, that's my thought on it, and I feel quite strongly about that, because I feel that it's almost that time that we're spending with our families at home, we didn't choose to spend it. And we don't need to feel guilty and keep remembering just how awful it is out there. I don't know. What's your thought on that?
No, absolutely. I think for me, if, you know, our point here is to educate our children. You know, what are we trying to do here? Are we trying to create this huge level of guilt and children? And I think obviously the answer would be no. What we're trying to do is educate them about what's happening, help them to be aware that we're in a very privileged position. Many of us are in a privileged position where we can self-isolate and we don't have to worry about food and a roof over our heads. But at the same time, as you say, not to hammer this away, that they have to feel responsible for the world and that they have to walk around the house, you know, in a somber mood because people are dying from diseases, because, as you say, this is happening all the time. And it's, I think it's very important. It's that your point is very important, but I think that is another, you know, I think it is a very, very, it's a huge positive, and hopefully our children are going to turn around and say, you know, during that COVID-19, it was a hard time, but it was a terrible time for a lot of people. And it was hard maybe to stay at home for such a long period of time. And I missed my friends. But wasn't it great to have mom and dad at home? Wasn't it great that, you know, this time, you know, that time was very special, even though it was a very difficult time.
Indeed.
And so I think we should try and take advantage of it, even though, yes, we do have adult worries about whether it be about finances and illness. But I think we should really try to take advantage of this time and be appreciative that our kids are not getting this disease, or many children are not getting this disease, and it's certainly not in the level that, you know, of seriousness that adults are getting it. And then we have this opportunity, just this precious, precious time, to really reconnect with our kids.
Dale, we'll be back just after the following adverts. But Kim's saying, my kids have said that they will never, that they will always remember these days. They will remember these days forever. And I think what a great thing if you can achieve that. It is 8:22. Talking a little bit earlier about this whole debate about masks, Dr. Anton Marburg saying, absolutely, you don't need to wear one when you go outside unless you are ill. How do we balance all of these things that look so scary and anxiety provoking or inducing around our kids? Obviously, we're expecting them to wash their hands all the time, use hand sanitizer, etc. How do we balance that?
It's such a good question, Howard, and I think, you know, that goes to your question around denial and educating our kids at the same time, you know, trying to help them to understand what we need to do to stay safe. And I think that's the point, is that I think at the moment, I think there's, you know, the situation is so fluid. And, you know, I've also seen those articles coming out of the States where now they're kind of hinting that maybe it's a good idea to cover your mouth, cover your face and your nose when you go, when you go out in public. So things are so fluid. So I do think for me, it's really about understanding the situation at the current moment, and then obviously feeding it to our children in manageable bits and in a way that's not anxiety provoking. So to call it what it is, I think to say to our children that this is a new virus and things are moving very quickly, and doctors are changing their recommendations according to the knowledge that they get, and we will let you know. We will let you know exactly what that information is. So I think as adults, I think it's very important that we, in a way, speak to the children about how, yes, and they're experiencing it, that this is predictably unpredictable, but that's how it's going to be, and that we filter the knowledge to our children in ways that they can understand. And I think, as we're saying, first understand it as adults, and try and make sense of the information that's coming out for yourself before you talk to your children. So I think there's nothing wrong. I think, you know, obviously some children who are very anxious are going to be anxious by a lot of things, even when there isn't a virus or pandemic happening, that, you know, their anxiety takes advantage of any information that they get. But and it would be no different if there wasn't a virus.
Can I just say,
or pandemic?
You certainly can.
I think we are overreacting at this point in time.
What?
In terms of the mask.
The mask.
Yes, okay. In terms of the mask, because I think the thing that's actually making us overreact is the fact that, you know, every 2 days we see that the infection numbers have gone up and the death toll has gone up. But can we just remember that a lot of these people that are infected, the confirmed cases, are people that got this about 2 weeks ago, before even the lockdown. Mm. I'm even finding that now that the lockdown, you know, we're in this lockdown, I'm less anxious. I'm sleeping better.
I'm also less anxious. Yeah. Because you're not coming across people.
I'm telling you, I haven't used hand sanitizer in about 3 days.
David,
because
did you hear what you just said? I'm reporting you to Dr. Anton Marburg right now.
No, can I tell you? Because
what's your ID number?
I mean,
no, you are being reported.
Because we're under lockdown. I'm at home with people that I know are not leaving the home. The only other place that I go to and I'm not at home is work, or I go to the supermarket where I sanitize and, you know, I wipe down my trolley or my basket, and I don't put myself in danger. And I think because now we've been forced to go into this lockdown, and I know that I don't put myself in danger, and I know that the people that I live with are not going anywhere. I'm sleeping better. So I think I don't know. It confuses me that all of a sudden we're obsessed with masks.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's this need to do something. I don't know, David. What do you think?
I think funny enough, I think we generally are very adaptable as human beings, but. You know, it takes time to get to a place where new is the new normal, you know, for a want of a better phrase. And I think for me, we are very adaptable, but it's that time of adaption that's very, very stressful for us. You know, going from what we know and what we usually do, you know, which gives us, I've always said, gives us that sense of predictability and consistency, which lowers our anxiety. This is a new normal, if you want to call it that, you know, as I say, for want of a better phrase. And once we get used to, you know, this new way of being, and again, things will change. But right now, once we've adapted to it, as Anati's saying, she knows what she needs to do. She knows what, you know, a lot more about, the virus and what she needs to do to protect herself from it. And so there is the sense now of more predictability around it. And that would lower one's anxiety levels.
Yeah, interestingly enough, I think the mask thing might make it worse. I know that it's, we think we're doing something and therefore it's great. But if we know medically that it doesn't really make a major difference, then I just wonder if it isn't ultimately just going to feed our anxiety. It is 8:31. David Abramson, psychologist in private practice. Thank you as always. Fantastic perspective. Really, really, really important. Unfortunately, next week we will not be chatting to you on Thursday because it will be Pesach. Maybe we'll try and see if we can get a conversation in with you a little bit earlier around handling some of the issues of Pesach and lockdown. David, be well. Thank you as always.